is Phil Henry Show in El Pacifico in Southern California.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, General. Yeah, and I'm Robert Leonard. I'm strolling around. I'm General Galen Shaw.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
And I'm Phil Henry. Yeah.
You know, I'm happy it's Friday.
Well, it is. It's a good day. Friday's always a good day.
So today we're going to have on Professor Emery Clayton.
Oh, you did get him?
Yeah, I did. I talked to him just earlier, and he's going to come on.
I don't know if that's a good idea. To have Professor Clayton on, Phil, he's going to be talking about how Game of Thrones is what?
Game of Thrones, according to him, Game of Thrones is the perfect reflection of the white mind. It's, in other words, the European-American is having a dream right now, and it's manifesting itself in a TV show, and it's coming out.
Well, hold the phone. Now, are you getting real heavy here, aren't you?
Well, not really heavy, but it is. Talk about the meaning of it.
Bud, I'll get to you in a minute. You're getting real heavy.
General, what we're talking about here is that Game of Thrones is reflecting a certain sensibility among European-American or white people, sensing that the kingdom is beginning to decay, and that the kingdom of the white, which, by the way, Phil, this is a character that is introduced into Game of Thrones, the white is a decayed corpse of a thing, you know.
I see. So, in other words, the white man is just a corpse?
Well, I mean, what are you talking about, General? All getting pissed off?
No, I'm not getting pissed. I just want to know, what are you people talking about?
All right, General, look, I'm not saying you're not intelligent enough to get this. I'm saying that it's kind of an area of study that is uncommon. And what it is it takes fable and myth and looks at it as a ongoing sort of subconscious expression of a whole culture.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's you got to figure out.
General, look, I know you can get this. When you take any fable, for instance, Helen of Troy, for instance, Ulysses, these are legends, yes, and they could very well have been concocted as a way to explain how man, you see, you know what, I'm boring myself.
Wait, all right, now let me try this. In fact, if I can't explain it to you, General, I'm sorry, but we're still going to do it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. You guys are always buffaloing me, going right over top of me.
What are you talking about, General?
I don't understand half the stuff you clowns do around here.
Wait a minute, man. You know what Game of Thrones is.
Do I know what Game of Thrones? I can't turn around with some clown breathing it on me.
So what we're going to do is talk to Dr. Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon.
Oh, so he's gonna study this. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, going to study it and then talk about how Game of Thrones is an expression of the white man.
Is an expression of the white... This, I got to hear this. That's for sure.
Well, that is the thinking. We are also going to have on Larry Grover, and he'll be talking about the need for prayer. And I love programs like this. When we talk about spirituality, we talk about prayer. And Larry has applied prayer in his life to help him not watch CNN. And he prays to God, and he told me he almost felt the stigmata.
Wait, hold on for just 5 seconds here.
No, you ain't heard about it.
Grover prays, what do you mean the stigma? He bleeds from the palms? Holy Jesus.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Well, if you don't butt in, I'll tell you. Larry Grover prays to Jesus himself so he won't watch CNN.
Well, what?
Look at these monkeys. Folks, you can't see, but all of these men here are staring at me as if someone put an electrode right up their rectum.
All right, Margaret.
Well, my God.
Margaret, you're telling me...
If I gotta say it again, I think I'm gonna come unglued. Larry Grover is relying on God, using the force of prayer, the energy of prayer, so he won't go over to his television.
So he won't go over his television and watch a CNN?
Yes.
And he wants to come on and talk about that.
No, Phil, he wants to sit at home and talk to himself. Yes, he wants to come on and talk about that.
I don't understand this. You're telling me the man doesn't have the force of will?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, well, that ought to be interesting. So Larry Grover using the power of will. Now, I don't want to piss you off, Margaret, but I got to get to one more thing.
What about that stigmata?
Yeah, what about that?
Is that what you're going to ask me?
Yes.
All right, because I wait for Phil to ask, not you guys. You monkeys can sit there.
All right, Margaret, what about it?
What about the stigmata?
Larry claims that he has prayed so fervently, please God, let me not go over to the TV and watch CNN, that, and I know you think it's funny, Phil, but I find this to be very inspiring.
All right.
That he feels blood coming out of the, in other words, as if someone put a crown of thorns.
Forget it.
Oh, my God, you're laughing at the torture of Jesus.
No, I'm not. I'm laughing at Larry Grover with the stigmata, which I doubt seriously.
And then, what have we got? Oh, yeah, this God. Take it easy, General. Don't tell me to take it easy. You got this Chris Norton kid coming back on. He says he is now involved in horror sex or some goddamn, and he's finally going to be producing Frankenstein's Sister.
That the way he described that film to me, it made me want to vomit. It was so filled with filth and the stench-ridden sex.
Well, there's a scene where we'll have him tell you about it, but Frankenstein's Sister, huh?
Yeah, go to Frankenstein's Sister, where the monster is created, and it's Frankenstein's sister, okay? And as soon as she's created, she grabs the doctor's head.
Grabs the doctor's head and does what?
Well, three guesses. The first two don't count.
Okay, do you mind if I leave the room while the interview is going on?
Yes, I do. I would like you to be here.
Thank you very much for that, Phil.
Hey, Margaret, you wanted to be a guest host or
a guest host?
You mean a co-host?
Yeah, you wanted to be a co-host.
Yes.
Well, then you get to be a co-host. So quit bugging me with your funky, funky thing.
Well,
and now let's go over to the traffic with Bob Bakian.
Well, the Boston Seabury right now, they're going to be taking about three for five. You got 3 for 5 with big words there to the Willie Mays Bay. They're opening head to hatch there in 1954 World Series. On the Dallas Harbor Freeway, you got the 5 and 25. We're going to be going, and the boing, and then got right there. David Bowie has found his way in there and got a match there. And the class band, that there is right there, the 16 freeways going hard. You're going to be hard and red and hard and ready for her when you get up there in the later night. What's going on, boys? But that's it. Find out what Scott went.
And there it is right there. You can see Chan Grant. Look out there on the horizon, Santa Hoffman. And there's a bird out there, angel out there, right playing the harp. Looks like you. Just getting around there, Bob. I'm going to Boyne Sky, baby. Sweet thing.
Now you're buying a
I'm tired. I need a nerd.
I need a nerd.
Boyne Sky, baby. Sweet thing needs a nap.
I'm Bucky Holzman, and I'm running for city commissioner. Recently, we've seen our city go through a period of decay. We're watching buildings crumbling, streets are falling apart. We've seen all kinds of different toxic waste bubble up through the cement. And recently, a gigantic lizard came out of Myers Lagoon. Back, you know Myers Lagoon, don't you? We thought that was all filled in, and they were going to be building homes out there. But one of these gigantic lizards came out and ate Tom Prescott, a dear, dear friend who had a strawberry farm out there. And I was going to go out there and see if he needed help picking the strawberries. He got eaten it up. That's why I've decided to run for city commissioner. With me in charge, we can organize all this decay so it happens faster. We all leave this area, curse it forevermore, find the witch that put the curse on it in the first place, kick her ass 6 ways to sunset. Vote for Clyde Wurzmer, city commissioner. Paid for by Clyde Wurzmer, city commissioner. But that's not my name.
Hello, I'm Ingersoll Perthmer, Rick's Hair Salon. Come in and find your hair weaved and shaped and made wonderful by our stylists. At Rick's Hair Salon, we can make your hair look any way you want it to. If you have no hair, we'll give you an imaginary head of hair and sculpt it into the shape of a wild space beanie. Or, if you wish, an extraterrestrial pompadour and, of course, the bouffou, which is a bouffant and buffangu put together. It all adds up to one thing, Rick's hairstyling. Yes, I am a witch, but I gotta make a dollar, and I love a beautiful dollar to be made.
Rick's Hairstyling, now open at 10, closes at 10:30. And the rest of the day, it's none of your business.
And this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico here in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray. Larry Grover joining us on our Newsmaker line right now. Larry has opened up to me with something that I think is extremely, first of all, I'm very, very flattered, Larry, that you would come to me and talk with me about this. And so you would know, Phil, Larry has also been extremely vocal in expressing his fears that he won't be taken seriously on this program or in any program for that matter. That's why he does not want to go to the media.
Larry, I promise you that we'll take you seriously.
By the way, you know, I heard right off the bat when I was listening, as I'm driving over to pick Mother up. She's got to go and do some grocery shopping. So I've got a half an hour from Culver Print. I got to get her to the grocery store, drop her off, and get back to Culver Print. I've got 100 wedding invitations. It's another big Mexican family. I've got nothing against that, but it seems that's all I do. And now I find that I'm watching CNN. And I said to Margaret, should I talk to you about it?
And Margaret said, why don't you come on the program?
I thought it would be therapeutic for him.
All right, now, Larry, this is General Shaw. You're saying that you didn't want to come on the program, you just want to talk to Margaret.
I felt she would understand.
Well, you know, we're talking here, and not that I'm the most religious person. Point of fact, I'm an atheist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's an atheist.
Yeah, what are you talking atheist for? You're talking about a god.
Because she's an understanding person, she's not ready to get the knives out like it feels like you guys are. And I'm not, you know, complaining, but I've had a crisis here over the last, I'd say, 6 to 8 months. And watching the news, I hate CNN, as you know, Phil. I watch Fox News. I watch the One News Network and some of the others. I watch Newsmax, and they're good, and I like them, and I want to watch them. And I'm always being drawn to CNN, and I prayed to God.
This is a crisis of faith, Phil.
All right, well, I want people. First of all, I don't want people to think we're making fun of religion.
Why would they think that?
Why is that a consideration, Phil? When this man...
I'm just going to say, I don't want people to think we're making fun of religion, because when they hear that Larry needs to pray to God...
Yeah, pray to God so you can stay away from CNN. Why don't you just turn the channel?
Oh, yeah, sure. I hear that every day. Why don't I turn the channel?
All right, now calm down, Grover. Don't start yelling. There's no need for us to get into an argument. We want to understand what it is you're saying.
But I do. I hear it every day. Why don't you change the channel?
Why don't you change the channel?
Oh, well...
Phil, would you please be a little more understanding?
But, you know, this is what I hear every day.
Wait a minute.
Mother says it. Here, Mother, come on over here.
You don't want me to.
I do today. Tell him what you tell.
I tell Larry, why don't you change the channel and be done with it, Larry? Just go over to the TV, get the channel changer, change it.
Here, okay, that's enough. So that's what she says to me.
And what do you say?
What do I say about what?
What do you say to your mother when she says change the channel?
See, this is what I'm talking about.
But I did tell you it would be difficult, didn't I, Larry?
You did, yes. But this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Wait a minute, ma'am. I don't understand something. Why can't you just change the channel?
See? You know.
Larry, why don't you?
Why did I even call in?
Because I asked you to, Larry, and you said you would.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Why is that a bad question to ask?
Oh, my God, he's still leaning on it.
I want to know, Larry, why is it a bad question to ask?
Why is it a bad question? I have to pray to God. Anyone who is a conservative, who believes in the mission and the vision of Donald J. Trump, we have to watch CNN. We can't stay away from it. I have prayed, and God won't hear my prayers. I have supplicated myself. I have... literally gotten on my knees, and at the local church here, St. Bonaventure, I went in and I dropped to my knees on two small boards that I made with nails in them.
Oh, for God's sake, Larry.
No, I did.
For what reason?
You know full well, because I want the Lord.
Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not Catholic.
No, we're not Catholic. We were atheists, and then I got involved with Elcott. A lot of things. We were in a cult. When we originally came to California, we were in a cult where Larry was blessed as a baby. He was laid on a rock as the sun rose and a sword was dangled over his, you know, middle area.
See what I'm saying? I had to deal with this.
Wait just a minute.
You didn't hear about that.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Wait a minute. Hold, if you don't mind.
You didn't know.
You didn't know that I came, Mother and my dad were members of a cult that came in from Milwaukee.
What was the cult?
It was, you remember, Walt Bissom.
I don't know any guy named Walt Bissom.
It was a very big cult in the 50s, and we believed in Walt, and we believed in the five restitutions, and I don't want to get into it because it was a hellish thing. But when we came out to California...
Wait, you came out to California members of a cult?
Yes, for the fifth time, Phil.
Yeah. And then when they baptized me by laying me on a stone as the sun rose and dangled a sword right over my, you know, penis.
That was how you were going to be circumcised. And if the sword did not drop, then you would not be circumcised. Hence, Missile Dick was born.
You know what I'm talking about?
Would you not say that, Gloria?
I don't mean any disrespect.
Gloria, really, let's stick to the point here.
Well, you asked the question. I got to give you the answer.
You know, I won't judge, but listening to you...
Oh, you won't? Yes, you're judging me all over the place. You're judging me all over the place. Larry was laid on a stone and sanctified by Walt Bissom. And
who was Walt Bissom?
He was the head of the cult that mother and father were members of as they came out from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1951, and I was laid on a rock.
Yes, yes, all right, you were laid on, never mind. So the cult was run by a guy named Walt Bissom, who had no beliefs.
I just told you, we had the five institutions, we had a lot of
baloney, Phil.
I don't believe in it anymore.
All right, let's get back to the point here. We are talking with Larry Grover, and he has been praying of late not to watch CNN. For what reason, Larry?
Because I'm a conservative who believes in the program and the power and the might and the righteousness of Donald J. Trump. And so why do I want to watch CNN? I've talked to a number of my friends who are also members of conservatives of Kern County and big Trump supporters, and they're the same way. They have found themselves drawn to it. And we prayed last night together in a prayer circle. We put our hands together.
That prayer circle.
I'm talking about Bud.
Sounds dirty.
I'm talking about a circle jerk.
Oh.
Talking about a... Come on, guys.
You know, this is ridiculous.
I told you, having Larry on, every time you have Larry on, the whole thing turns into a figurative circle jerk.
Mother, it's not my fault. If I want the strength from God, not to watch CNN.
This is ridiculous. So if you can't just get up and turn the channel.
Oh, knock it off, will you, Phil? I heard this already. I have tried.
Larry, if you don't want to watch CNN, then you change the channel. But something tells me you want to watch it.
Are you kidding me? Why would I want to watch a channel of news that lies all the time?
Maybe you think that they're telling the truth deep down. You thought about that?
Oh, sure. Did you hear this, Butter?
He's saying there may be some truth to it, Larry.
Truth to what?
You want CNN because there's truth to it.
Truth to what?
That there's truth to it.
To what?
Truth to the fact that you watch CNN because there's truth there.
Now I'm totally lost.
You don't understand what I'm talking about, do you?
Now I really can't understand anything he said.
We're talking about you watching CNN because you really want to.
Oh, now there, that makes sense.
Okay, but isn't that true?
No, it doesn't make true, and no, it isn't sense.
What the hell are you talking about?
Larry, let me ask you this. Donald Trump complains all the time about the New York Times and about CNN, and yet he watches both. He watches CNN, he reads the New York Times religiously. He quotes both of them if the news is good for him. So it really is a situation where you can't draw yourself away from CNN because you know that they're an objective news organization. You know they're telling the truth, and you know that you're going to get truth there, and you're not going to be bullcrapped by Fox.
No, I don't watch. I don't think I'm getting bullcrapped by... Boy, you got a pair on... Fox News is the number one news channel.
Did you see what people were saying today?
About what?
About Fox. They say that Fox is probably one of the main reasons this country is so divided. Fox News has driven a rift. It has driven the separation of people in this country more than anything else.
See, right there.
Where did you see that, Phil? I saw it, I think I saw it online in some news story.
Yeah, guess where you saw it? You probably saw it on CNN. Oh, boy, I used to think you were a pretty smart guy, Phil. But for you to fall for that...
I'm telling you, Larry, you have to listen to what Phil's saying because there's a great many truths in it.
Oh, my bare rear end. You know, Mother, when you and Dad brought me out here and I was laid on a stone and I had the sword dangled over my peanut, whatever it was, and Walt Bissom, you know...
Where is Walt Bissom?
He's in prison, all right?
Aha! I knew it!
Okay. And if you really want to know something, I'll tell you. Walt Bissom may very well be your father.
What?
I'm sorry, Larry.
I thought you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What are you saying, Gloria?
You want me to repeat it? I'll repeat it. Walt Bissom could very well be Larry's father.
What about my own father?
He was a good man who stepped into the breach when Walt Bissom decided he was going to bug off. Walt left me there with a little infant and said he had to go into Glendale and start another temple and all of his baloney. And I put a gun to his...
What did you do, Mother?
I put a gun to his gonads one night, and I said, I'll tell you something, Walt. no me, no little Lawrence. You can say goodbye to left and right. Say goodbye to the left one. And I said, say goodbye. And he raised his left hand and waved goodbye. And I say goodbye to the right one. And he raised his hand.
All right. So we don't have to hear the details of you almost blowing Walt Bissom's nuts.
You know, Phil, you think it's funny.
He does. He thinks it's funny. I did almost blow Walt Bissom's nuts off because the man was going to leave me high and dry with little Lawrence here with this sack of joy.
She's mother. Had I known that. And what about father?
Father was your father. He raised you. You came to know him as father. I wasn't going to tell you about Walt Bissom.
You know what, mother? I don't know whether to be happy or to be sad. I don't know whether to shout out with joy or to begin to tear my own flesh. I don't know whether I should dance or commit homicide right now. But something tells me I should just...
Maybe you want to just turn on CNN and watch the news.
That's not a bad idea. I think... What are you talking about, man?
Never mind what he said.
You gotta watch CNN. You gotta watch...
Knock it off, will you? Larry, I don't know about the prayer thing. It's not working for you. So why would you keep on going?
Because I don't want to betray my own intellect. I don't want to betray my own river of truth. I don't want to betray the information that I so desperately need to make informed decisions by watching CNN.
Larry, that was unbelievable.
Larry, do not raise your voice like that. Larry, I'm gonna hang up on you.
Larry, I'm sorry. Don't you do that. Walt Bissom gave...
Oh, we got enough with Walt Bissom, okay?
He was your father.
Well, if he was my father, if Walt Bissom was my father, where's all the money? Because you know Walt Bissom was loaded.
Yes, he was loaded. That's a good point. I don't know where the money is. Some say he took it with him. He took it with him when he went to the bottom in the Santa Barbara Channel when he was pushed out of a helicopter. He was taking a tour, Phil, just for your listeners. He was taking a tour of the Santa Barbara Channel, and he had a large chest filled with all of his money. Some people say he was going to get off at Catalina, and it was there that he would assume another identity, live there for a few years, and then make his way back to the mainland with a chest full of gold doubloons. But on the way over there, he was pushed from the helicopter.
Was it someone that knew him? Was it somebody that was...
Someone who was in business with him?
No, it was an irritated tour guide. Walt was laughing and picking his nose.
He was irritating people.
That's all. He was just irritating the living Jesus out of him. The tour guide who was saying, ladies and gentlemen, there's the Santa Barbara Channel, And there's this, and there's, and Walt's picking his nose and laughing and scratching his nuts. And finally, the tour guide put his microphone down and said, pardon me for just one moment, lifted Walt up and flung him from the chopper in the Santa Barbara Channel.
Well, why didn't they stop and look for him?
Would you?
No, I wouldn't look for him, but I'd look for the money.
Good point.
All right, so what we have here then is a guy, Larry Grover, who has just found out... I wasn't prepared for this.
Oh, you know what? I think the whole thing's hooey. So how do you feel about that?
Ask me if I care.
You know what? Whether my father is Walt Bissom or not, the fact is I have to pray to God every day to help me to stay from watching that scene, and I still watch it. So the power of God is very limited.
Don't say it, Larry. Don't say those things. You have to apply those things.
Well, listen to you. I thought you were an atheist, too.
Mr. Henry's not an atheist. He believes in the Buddhism.
Oh, you believe in Buddhism, don't you? Boy, that's probably the thing that's jinxing me, man. I think you put the stink eye on me, you and your Buddhism.
I didn't do anything to you, man. I didn't do anything to you. You have to, you know, own up for your own life.
Hey, Larry, look, if you believe in God and Jesus and all that stuff, and what is this bullcrap about you getting a stigmata?
Don't you dare laugh at me for that, because I was praying very, very deeply one night, saying, God, please, please let me not go near my TV. Please let me not go near the TV changer. And please, please don't let me change it to CNN. And even as I was praying that way, I was channeling up to CNN. And then I felt blood coming down from the top of my head, and my hands opened up, and it was the crown of thorns and the two nails that had gone into Jesus' hands.
You're pretty sure of that?
Not really, because I'd bumped my head coming upstairs.
All right, Larry.
And you told me it was a stigmata.
I don't know. I can't tell for sure right now. I think I might have bumped my head and then... I stuck my hands inadvertently in the barbecue, so...
You know, Larry, I think that this is something between you and your maker. Hopefully your maker will take a look at you and say, did I make that? Maybe I ought to unmake it.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Get unmade by the by the baker.
Larry, I think it's only right that you tell Phil and everyone good night, and you have to go. And I don't want to hear you going, dear God, don't let... What are you doing now?
I just want to flip on CNN. I just want to watch Wolf.
Larry Grover, ladies and gentlemen.
What, that guy?
You know, that's a great example. He's got Trump's disease.
How do you mean by that?
Well, Trump's, you know, he watches CNN. He reads the New York Times. He gets crazy. He says it's fake news. He says that it doesn't matter. And there he is getting crazy watching all that stuff. So my theory is this. I think that Trump not only doesn't think it's fake, I think Trump thinks that the New York Times and CNN are the only real truth-telling news organizations.
Why would you say that? You know that Trump would deny that.
Of course he's going to. Donald Trump lies about everything, man. He's going to lie about that. But if I said to him, you know, Mr. President, don't you think CNN is a valid truth-telling and a journalistic enterprise? He'd say, of course not. It's fake news. But he watches it all the time. So to me, that's the truth there. He really does believe that it's a valid news-gathering organization. Same thing with the New York Times. I think he believes in the New York Times and CNN more than any other outfit.
No, man. You know, Trump hates them, man. I mean, he hates them.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that also that Trump fans do, too, because of Mr. Grover trying to pray his way out of it.
Larry Grover is always going to be a freak on a leash. That guy is always going to be weird with a capital W. You can't make any plans or view the human race through the eyes of Larry Grover. You might as well be looking through the eyes of a dead man. I'm General Galen Shaw. How do you feel about that?
Yay!
I think that's extremely cruel.
Well, it may be cruel.
Anyway, that's Larry Grover, folks, and good luck, Larry, with...
He's on a phone right now.
Who is?
Larry Grover.
But, okay, Larry, what's up?
And what about the stigmata? What about the fact that I bled from the hand and the head?
You bumped your head coming up from the cellar, you said.
Cellar? What cellar?
Didn't you say you bumped your head coming upstairs?
Yeah, coming upstairs from the first floor. We got a two-story house.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so what about that?
You bumped your head.
Well, okay, I bumped my head. That explains the crown of thorns. What about bleeding from the palms of my hands, okay?
Can I hand it? Mother, Larry spent the entire weekend jerking off.
Mother, that is unfair.
His hands were bleeding because he jerked.
Phil Henry Show.
Something. I'm sorry that I brought the whole thing up.
It's not your fault, Parker.
No, it is my fault. I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up.
What's kind of interesting? Larry Grover asking God for the strength not to watch CNN and all that stuff. Man, we'll be right back. We have Chris Norton.
Yeah, Chris Norton coming up with Frankenstein's sister.
Jesus. How do you cure the shakes?
Come to Ricky Powers, Ricky Powers milkshakes. Ricky Powers milkshakes will cure the shakes.
Hi, Dean Wisco here for Ricky Powers milkshakes. I wake up every morning with the shakes. I wake up every morning feeling bugs crawling all over me. Some days I can see bats flying, rats, snakes, stuff like that. That's why I go to Ricky Powers milkshakes to get rid of the shakes. Just with one milkshake from Ricky Powers.
Oh yeah, you flying.
Come to Ricky Powers, Ricky Powers milkshakes.
Ricky Powers milkshakes near the curve in Downerton.
Hi, I'm Larry Grover for the Phil Henry Show website, which I told them I would talk about the website, even though I've got bigger problems, praying that I don't have to watch CNN. But here I am pitching Phil Henry's website. Well, what you do is go and get yourself 2 months of a backstage pass for 99 cents. Woo! Big deal. Then you go and you listen to the archives, 30,000 hours. I guess I'm in there, probably hundreds of hours of me making an ass out of myself. And then you can go and watch all of his TV pilots, look at all of the video casts, look at some of the smaller video casts that he made. You can look at the Henry Home movies. You can hear all kinds of other tapes and things that he's got there. Now, it's right there at philhenryshow.com, and a 2-month backstage pass subscription will only cost you 99 cents. How good could it possibly be? It's probably cheapest.
The Phil Henry Show website,
philhenryshow.com.
99 cents for 2 months.
Henry?
I gotta try not to watch CNN.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Well, we have coming up tonight the backstage pass chat. The BSP chat.
Now, that starts at 9 o'clock.
It starts at 9 o'clock, and it's every Friday night at 9. So if you're a brand new BSP member, we would really love you to come over and say hello to us. It's a tight little group, you know. I would imagine that it's difficult.
Well, when you're new to the BSP, you don't just go jumping into things.
Yeah, you know, people are a little shy.
Yeah, no, I imagine it's kind of difficult, and just to kind of jump and say, but it isn't a big thing. You'd say, hi, Phil, it's so-and-so, I'm from this town or that town. We try to find out where everybody's from, and I know that Baker and Bozeman has been keeping he's got a map.
But he has a map where everyone lives.
Yeah, he has a map of where all the BSPs are from. And we talk about stuff, whatever is going on. So check us out 9 o'clock on our chat. That's 9 Pacific time at philhenryshow.com. The other thing that I wanted to announce is that Dr. Ed Elcott, Kenny Slagg, all the other features that you've heard from time to time here on the podcast are all going to go behind the paywall.
Now, so in other words, you won't be able to hear Ed Elcott here on the live feed.
No. You won't be able to hear him anymore.
But what are you doing that for? You trying to be a dick or something?
Why don't you shut up, man? Hey, wait a minute. Wait, no, I'm not trying to be a dick. What I'm trying to do is give the subscription more value. You know, in other words, we're trying to heighten the value of a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, 30,000 hours of some of the greatest radio you've ever heard in your existence on this or any other planet, I would dare say, is worth the price of admission.
All right, Phil, don't go on and on and on about it.
Okay, so I'm just saying, we'll have these other features, Ed Elcott, Kenny Slagg, Kevin Cuneal, the real estate guy, and August Seltzin, Sexual Exploration Hour, all that stuff.
That August Seltzin, Sexual Exploration, Jesus, hey, you know, the guys that you have on this show, Phil.
You mind, General? I'm...
Oh, well, excuse me.
Well, General, he's trying to finish up.
I'm just saying, the guys you have on this...
All right, say what you want to say.
No, go ahead.
So that's it, the Phil Henry Show website, and join us in the chat.
So, Jesus, what happened to you, man?
What are you talking about?
I'm saying to you that the freaks and weirdos that you get polluting the airwaves around here talking about sex, and that guy August Seltzin, if you don't have him on this station ever again, it'll be too soon.
Hey.
Thank you very much for that. All right. Who do we have?
I'll be talking about Frankenstein's Sister. I guess it's a brand new movie or something like that.
I'm right here. I'm just finishing up for the night here.
It's Phil Henry.
I'm Harry.
Now, are you still on set?
We're on set now. We're finishing up one scene from Frankenstein's Sister, and we'll be moving on to. I'm going to move on tomorrow. Yeah, I'm breaking it down. The crew's going to break it down now, but. We feel, Phil, we really have, you know, Climate Rest Rod was, it was the beginning of something, but it was not necessarily end of something. And the beginning of the Chris Norton trilogy, okay, because that's what we're talking about. And it's not really, it's called the Rest Rod trilogy.
What do you mean the Rex Rod trilogy?
Well, I mean, the trilogy of Rest Rod is, you know, it's the trilogy, you know, and...
Well, do you even know what a trilogy is?
I do, sort of.
All right, so you're trying to create a myth, as they say. The myth of Rex Rod?
What?
All right, so what are you doing, man? You're making three movies?
Yeah, we're making three movies. That's why I call it a trilogy, the trilogy of Rex Rod. The first one is Climbing Rex Rod. The second one is Frankenstein's Sister. And then the third one may have to do with... Dolly Dagger's, Mounds of Joy. I don't know.
What is it again?
Dolly Dagger's Mounds of Joy.
Talk about Mountains of Joy.
Mounds of Joy, man. Don't you listen too good?
But you don't talk too good.
All right, wait. So, Chris, tell me about Frankenstein's Sister.
Frankenstein's Sister is the second in the Rest Rod trilogy, is what I'm trying to say. And it starts out...
Now you told us about that, man.
It starts out... There's a castle on top of a mountain, and there's a mad scientist who's making a creature. Now, he already made Frankenstein, and now he wants to make a creature that will be a companion for Frankenstein. And he makes Frankenstein's Sister, because Frankenstein is a perv. He's, you know, he's very perverted. He's just like, he's a perv, you know. And he practices all kinds of sadomasochisms, masturbates, all the live long day.
He masturbates all the live long day.
Yes, that's one of the lines of the movie. He tells his wife, he says, Olga, and...
What was Frankenstein's wife's name?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. What's the big deal?
Okay, I just was curious if you were staying close to the letter of the book.
No, I've Olga, or I don't know, but Victor,
His wife's name was Victor.
That may be, for all I know, man. But, I mean, the guy's a perv. So he says, I'm going to make a companion, and I'm going to make Frankenstein's sister. And Igor goes, what? You know, and Frankenstein says, what's wrong with that? And Igor says, ain't he going to have sex? And that's when Frankenstein goes, yeah, but it'll be with his sister. And at that moment, then there's a lightning bolt that comes out of the heavens and incinerates Igor. Just it's an explosion, and Igor just dissolves. And
so Igor is killed by a lightning bolt after he says that Frankenstein's sister is going to have sex with Frankenstein.
Well, yeah, but that's not really why he, you know, was incinerated.
Well, why was he incinerated?
Just because it was a good time to incinerate Igor. Because I got tired of this guy that was playing Igor anyway. I wanted to get him out of the movie. So we decided to kill off Igor, and we had him incinerated. You know, it's a pretty good effect. Anyway, when Frankenstein's sister is created, and Igor is still alive, and Frankenstein goes, yeah, it's alive, it's alive. Frankenstein's sister wakes up and stares at Frankenstein and grabs his head. And, you know, shoves it between.
Oh, for God's sake.
Ms. Gray, this is an adult film.
All right, sticks his head between her legs.
You're right, between her thighs. And she just goes, rawr, you know, and he's all, you know.
You know what, I'm going to get up and leave. Margaret, sit down. Margaret, this is, you know, kid, let me say something to you.
Hey, you could take kid and...
Yeah?
I'm sorry, I was just quoting Wishbone.
What's Wishbone?
I mean Tombstone. I'm sorry, General.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. You're a good kid. These movies you make are strictly from hunger, man. They're way out there.
So what's wrong with that? I'm making... The film is about... It's a sexualized version of Frankenstein. And it's called... I mean, Frankenstein. It's called Frankenstein. I think it ought to be called Frankenstein to disassociate it from all the other rotten Frankenstein movies that have been made. These are going to be quality Frankenstein movies. And they're going to be affordable and everything.
That's great, Chris. Affordable Frankenstein.
Wow. Well, you don't need to laugh at him.
Yeah, you don't need to do that, Mr. Henry. You can do a lot of things, but please don't laugh at me. Please don't do that.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? What are you all of a sudden, Lon Chaney the Wolfman? If you hear a noise, don't let me out, whatever you do.
What are you talking about, man? Do you even listen to the stuff what you say?
Do you listen to the stuff what you say? All right, we're talking to Chris Norton. And we
were just talking to Larry Grover. I'm sorry, Chris. Chris Norton with Norton Splodes, the entertainment company. They've made their second feature-length adult film. Feature-length adult film, and it's called Frankenstein's Sister. Man.
Well, what's so funny, Mr. Henry?
Well, the fact that Frankenstein's going to have sex with his sister.
No, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein is having sex with his sister. Is that it?
No, because Frankenstein doesn't want to have sex. Well, the sister doesn't want to have sex with Frankenstein. The sister is saying she wants to, you know, hey, Bobby, do we need to keep editing?
Yeah, what Papa Boss saying.
Okay, that's why the music's on. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Frankenstein's sister takes one look at Frankenstein. And she goes, you know, like she's done in the Frankenstein's Bride.
So is this a take on Frankenstein's Bride?
Yeah, in a way it is, only it's his sister. So Frankenstein's sister wakes up and sees Frankenstein and goes, like that. And then she sees Dr. Frankenstein and goes, yeah, you know, she digs that. She digs him and she shoves his face between her thighs. And that's when Dr. Frankenstein can't breathe, right? And he goes into a coma. And that's when Frankenstein's sister gets up and, you know, gets into some clothes for the evening and heads out.
What do you mean gets into clothes for the evening and heads out?
She's a sex symbol. She's sensibilized. She's the first, you got to understand something, General. She's the first sexualized monster in all of film history. Frankenstein's sister is the kind of monster that I think we all have wanted to see, a sexualized monster. You know, and I remember when I first started making this, and people would say to me, well, who is going to kill, is it going to be Frankenstein? Will it be the monster? And I'll say, how's I supposed to know it's a monster?
You know something, kid, I got to hand it to you. You've come a long way for a guy that doesn't know how to talk very well.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
No, you really have. You've come a long way for a guy who sounds like he fed his own mouth into a propeller blade. Because I'm telling... All right, we're talking to Chris Norton, and we can take your phone calls. Our number here is 855-500-7445. Chris, we'll take some phone calls.
Yeah, I'd love to take a few phone calls. And
All right, let's go to a phone. Let's go to a phone call. This is Karen. Karen is calling from Baltimore. Hi, Karen. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton.
Oh, hello, Chris. I love Phil. I'm calling Larry. I got Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Oh, hey, Karen Deauville. How are you, Karen?
Chris, my name is Karen Deauville. You do. You are so much fun to listen to when you go scissor. Isn't he fun, Margaret?
Yes, he's a lot of fun. We're having a very serious discussion here, though, Karen.
No, I don't. Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, I'm an old bag, so don't worry about me. I'm not anyone that you're going to want to take to bed or anything like that.
God damn!
Oh, shut up, Larry. No, Chris, I would like to ask you a question. When you say that Frankenstein's sister, is that what she's called, Frankenstein's sister?
Yeah, her name's Frank. What's with you?
I want to know. When she grabs the doctor's face and shoves it between her thighs. Hey, Herb, hold on, this is my husband. Herb, do your imitation of your face, but you know, does that sound like him? Because I would tell...
All right, thank you very, very much there, Karen. Wait a minute, what happened? Thank you very, very much there, Karen. Let's get back to... I'm sorry, we lost you for just a second there, Chris. Our number, 855...
Well, that was sort of Barry Poole, Mr. Henry.
They didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, it's just the phone call that came up.
Well, I mean, it's not like it was. She was put up to it.
No, she's a weird woman that calls the show a lot. I apologize, Chris. 855-500-7445. Bobby Dooley checking in. We just had Bobby on the other night. Hi, Bobby. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Phil. Hi, Chris. It's Bobby Dooley.
Oh, yes, I'm Dooley.
I'm interested in your film, Frankenstein's Sister. Steve, my husband, was listening to this. And he said, you know, Bobby, this is a sexualized monster. The monster that roams the countryside?
No, that's the thing that we're talking about.
Is it a monster that roams the countryside?
Yeah, it does roam the countryside. There is a part of the movie where it roams the countryside.
Okay. I wanted to make sure, because a monster that roams the countryside is, a monster that roams the countryside speaks to, I think, our fear of terrorism. So I think what you have here is the wonderful possibility of a commentary on international terrorism. You know?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that if Frankenstein's sister, I don't know, when she grabs the doctor's face and sticks it between her legs.
Well, that in and of itself is sort of terrorizing some women. It wouldn't be for my... That's not horrible to you, is it, Steve?
No, I like to have my face put...
We don't need any more. My question is this. Have you considered sort of turning the film that way so that it becomes a commentary on the terrorism?
Well, what is having your face shoved between Frankenstein's sister's thighs?
Well, Frankenstein's sister's thighs is world terrorism, and your face is America. And between Frankenstein's thighs is the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
That's just simply my idea. Phil, we really enjoy your program, and I just wanted you to know.
There's Bobby Dooley calling here from her home there in the Western Estates. So, Chris, we do wish you all of the luck in the world with this film.
Well, I mean, are you all done interviewing me and everything?
Yeah, I think we are done interviewing you, son. There's not much more, unless you got something to add.
Well, I just want to say that Frankenstein's Sister, we feel, as I say, will be the first adult film that features the sexualization of monster. And that in and of itself is, I think, an achievement.
Well, that's not true, man. They've had a lot of porn movies with monsters.
What are you talking about, man?
They have, man. They had a porn movie about monsters.
Did they have a porn movie that was Frankenstein?
Yeah, they did. Like Frankenweenie or some dad like that.
Frankenweenie? Man, that's not even... You're trying to tell me there was nudism and cess. Because if there was cess, then I got to know. I got to know now. I've got to know.
I'm not sure about if it's hardcore sex. I know it's softcore.
Where'd you see this anyway?
Yeah, it was on like some movie catalog I had.
So there was a porn movie featuring a monster by the name of what?
Like Frankenweenie or something.
Oh, man, that's so much. That sounds like so much garbage. You're trying to tell me.
No, man, it's not garbage.
Well, if you look at, if you saw the movie catalog, it sounds like something that they wouldn't overlook.
How about that, Chris? The fact that the adult film industry is known to take a few satirical shots at regular movies.
I know that, but have they ever had one called Frankenstein Scissor? No, they have not.
No, they probably haven't. So, I guess you're blazing new trails there.
Forget it, man.
What's wrong?
Well, Phil, you're a little sarcastic.
Yeah, I'm blazing. I can tell you this, Mr. Henry. When the audience comes in and sits down, and when they see Frankenstein's sister take Dr. Frankenstein's face, just go, yeah, shove it right between her thighs, you're gonna hear a guy going, wow, I like it. You know, kind of like that. You know, Mr. Henry? You know me?
There is Chris Norton on the Phil Henry Show, and that's...
Boy, Henry, you're hanging up on him fast and furious.
That's the only way going to keep control of this show. Chris Norton there, talking about his forthcoming Frankenstein's sister. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Stick around. We've got General Galen Shaw next. I'm General Galen Shaw, right?
Yeah, General Galen Shaw next.
We've got Professor Emery Clayton next. Give me a... Professor Emery Clayton coming up next to talk about... Game of Thrones on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hi, my name's Chris Norton, and we're going to roll out Frankenstein's Sister. It'll be happening on Friday night, and you can come out and watch it and watch as Frankenstein's Sister comes back from the dead because she's made up of the dead.
Frankenstein's Sister at the Palmolco Theater with
me, Chris Norton, and I'll have a Q&A afterwards with the stars of Frankenstein's Sister, Chet Beef and Samantha Slick.
That's Frankenstein's Sister at the Palmolco Theater with
Chris Norton, Chet Beef and Samantha Slick.
This coming
Friday night
at
8 p.m.
Don't miss it.
Famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray. And let's do it. Let's get to our very good friend here, Professor Emery Clayton. Professor Clayton, good of you to join us. I think we can fade that music out. Professor Clayton, are you there?
I'm right here, yes.
We want to talk to you about Game of Thrones. I know that you're teaching a class in your urban studies. One of the classes, or one of the lectures, in your urban studies class has to do with the myth that Game of Thrones represents, the subconscious of the European American. Can you elucidate a little bit? Can you expand on that?
Yes. My feeling is this, that Game of Thrones...
Yeah, we're doing about elucidate.
Shut up, bud, will you?
Do you mind?
Sorry.
My feeling is this, Game of Thrones is, in point of fact, an expression coming from the deep recesses of the Caucasian or European-American mind, the subconscious. Somewhere deep in the subconscious of the European-American is the knowledge that European whiteness is no longer going to be preeminent on the North American continent. Now, many whites interpret that to mean the lack of culture, and this is why it is becoming expressed in this film, Game of Thrones. Now,
can I ask you a question, Professor?
No, I'm not done. I don't mean to be rude, Phil, but I've got to get this out while it's in my mind.
No, John, it's uppermost in your mind.
Right, and then I'll answer your question, Phil.
Okay.
The Caucasian or European American has gone along very happily for several hundred years, being the preeminent cultural and racial force in North America. I'm not saying they're racist per se. I am saying that it is an extension of worldwide classist and racist attitudes that made white European Americans preeminent on this continent. Now, with the emergence of the various demographics of color, whether they are African American, Hispanic, Native people, Asian Pacific, so on, white people or European American people subconsciously recognize a diminishment. A diminishment not so much of culture, but a diminishment of influence. This is being fed into the subconscious to mean that they're losing their culture. And hence you get a great many exasperated and anxious moments out there on the streets of America and so on and so on. Donald Trump, who is, I have to tell you, Phil, I'm sure your audience understands, Donald Trump to me, it falls for this more readily than anybody else. Donald Trump is a real chump when it comes to falling for this, thinking that the culture is in trouble because he doesn't get to push everybody around in the boardroom now. Maybe there's a man of color over here. Maybe there's a native person over there. Maybe the people that are calling the shots now. And Donald Trump may well find himself impeached and put into a prison cell as a result of people of color coming together and calling the shots like they never have before. Now then, in years gone by...
Wait a minute. I want to ask a few questions.
No, I'm not done yet.
Well, you got to ask... I'm sorry, Professor. You have to answer some questions. General, and then I have one. Yeah. So, Donald Trump is a chump for what?
Look, Donald Trump, Game of Thrones, what y'all wanted me to talk about, right?
No, talk about Game of Thrones and its influence.
All right. Donald Trump is probably the first person in all of society to fall for the Game of Thrones myth that shows a decrepitude and a moral deterioration of what is the European model. That's what we're seeing in Game of Thrones. We're seeing a European model.
Well, you mean European? They got the little midget and everything.
That midget's got nothing to do. Don't call him a midget. That is an inflammatory and offensive term.
Little people, bud.
Yeah, they got a little people with that little people. The little people guy.
The little people guy represents a diminishment, but potent aspect to European culture. Now, the little person was very prominent in the early episodes of Game of Thrones. Now you're seeing they're doing battle with the white. You know what the white is? Not only does white represent a racial, have a racial aspect or the color of a skin, a white in ancient English folklore is the undead. It literally is a creature that has lost part of its soul. And what could be more befitting the view of European man on this continent that he's losing part of his soul?
Now, this is this is what we used to call what Jung called, what is it, collective memory?
Yeah, that's right. It's called shared memory, racial memory, collective memory. Carl Jung spoke of the deep, deep archetypes inside of every human being's mind, that we reflect these archetypes and they are common to all of us. They are fire, mother. There are a number of them. Why do we sit around a fire and stare at the fire deep into the night? Why are we compelled to look at the fire?
Why?
Well,
will you let him just talk?
Sorry. Because it reminds us many, many millions of years ago when we first discovered fire and we first sat around that fire and looked deep into those flames and saw images. The wise man would interpret the flames. We would tell stories and so on and so forth. It was the first television set, as so many people say. Now then.
What has this got to do with the Game of Thrones and the little man?
The little man... You know, let me tell you about that little... I'd like to pick him up and throw him in that fire sometime.
That's not right to say. Wait, we're talking to Professor Emery Clayton. Professor, you are a marvelous speaker, and you have a great grasp of this topic, but it's pretty heavy, you know?
All right, let me make it simple, okay? I'll make it as simple as I can. On Game of Thrones, you are seeing an entire culture coming apart at the seams. You're looking at decrepitude, decay. You're looking at horror. You're looking at befoulment. You're looking at death. You're looking at the white man's fear, what's happening to him. That's what I'm trying to talk about.
Now, see, how do you say that to white people instead of freak out?
Well, you say, first of all, the first thing you do is you say, just because that happens to be the common sort of deep mythic subconscious reality doesn't mean it affects you individually. As an individual, you do any damn thing you want to do. But we do have individual dreams, and we have racial dreams.
And so Game of Thrones is a racial dream being had by white people.
Well, yeah, but obviously being fed by the myth-making machine of television. You have TV writers, but I dare say the television writers themselves that have, and the original authors of this material, never really knew what it was they had. Man, they don't know what they got. Now, they're making themselves a very handsome dollar with this stuff. They're telling people all these stories about funky-looking little people and monsters and fire-breathing dragons, all that stuff. And they're making themselves a very, very luscious dollar telling all kinds of ghoul stories. Oh, I would love that.
Well, what has that got to do with what you do? You're trying to interpret these things.
Yeah, I'm trying to interpret them. But I would much rather be sitting there saying, "Yo, girl, let's pump out some more of that wild, wild elf stuff." You remember that Lord of the Rings? That was some of that wild elf stuff. And you had, I heard you say, talking to Elfsplain?
Yeah, people would Elfsplain.
Yeah, well, I'd like to Elfsplain.
All right, so, Emery, what is the, is there a solution here? Is there a problem?
Well, the solution is, I think the Europeans need to let go a little bit. Their culture's not going anywhere, but it is being influenced, just as they have influenced others. You need to let go, and what was the saying there, that let go and let God? Now, I don't believe in God any more than you do, Margaret, or you, Phil. But Larry Grover, Larry, if you're listening, let go and let God, okay? I mean, if you let go and you let God, you may fall five stories right into the middle of traffic and get run over by a bus, but at least you, well...
At least you let go and let God.
Yeah, at least you let go. So,
let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Now, Game of Thrones, is it a waste of time to watch the show?
Oh, yeah, it's a waste of time to watch the show. You don't have to sit and watch that funky stuff, watching all these decrepit lizards and dragons. You already know what's going on. It's just white people are having a bad dream.
White people are having a bad dream, and it's being expressed in this show.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's why I suggest that what you should do, I think Walking Dead deals with the immediacy of the fear of a decaying society and a crumbling society and the renewal of a society. I think that deals with it much more directly than some jazzed up elf and frolicking little mythic creature thing where everybody's dancing in the snow and it's too weird, man. I can't get with that at all.
All right, Professor Emery Clayton has been our guest of the Phil Hendry Show talking about Game of Thrones. It's obviously it's a huge, huge success.
Oh, I know it's a huge, like, that's why I said I'd much rather be part of the producing crew than sitting here jaw-jacking what it means. Who cares, you know?
You don't think it's important to know what these things mean?
I think it's important to know what it means, but no one cares, you know? I say, hey, let me tell you about Game of Thrones, what it means. Get out of here, man. So they don't want to know, and neither do I. In fact, I'm boring myself to tears. And I've got to meet my wife at Taco Lita.
Taco Lita?
Yeah. Something wrong with that?
The one in Arcadia.
Yeah.
I used to go there all the time as a kid.
Good for you. I mean, I got to meet her over there because we're going to have us. I'm going to have a taco dinner, and then she said, "Let's start the evening with a taco dinner, and then let's see where it goes from there." And I'm like, I'm all about that. You know.
That sounds like a good night.
I'm all about that. You know, let's start it out with a taco dinner. Maybe it'll wind up with a taco.
All right, I've had enough of this. Thank you.
You're a real tight ass.
Margaret, don't do that.
What?
Don't hang the phone up before I get to hang the phone up, okay?
Now, Margaret, only one person should be controlling the...
All right, General, I hear you. But you heard what he said.
I heard what he said, yes. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved here on a podcast one, man. We're listening to a song here called Surf Riot by Tojimura 7.
That felt like a Japanese group.
Sounds like it to me. Tojimura 7 and Surf Riot.
And world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, don't forget the chat tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. The Phil Hendry Show chat at 9 o'clock tonight, Pacific.